This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 212 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. Today on the show, we'll be answering the question, which of us is the biggest pussy? The results may not surprise you. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies, sometimes television shows, in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And as Wayne has suggested, today we're going to be talking about the top 10 films which made us cry.
We guy cried, y'all.
Guy cried. Tear jerkers. Wow, the response to this topic was immense.
The responses. I'm like, wow, everyone understands that sometimes you need to cry.
That is correct. I think we live in a day and age now where it's okay to cry if you need to, even as a manly man, which of which there are none in this room.
Right.
We just have to make that assumption.
Pro tip, it's not okay to cry still if you're trying to get laid. They don't like that, fellas. They'll say that they do, but they don't. I'm just telling you. They'll lose respect for you. All kinds of shit goes south. Do not ever let it happen.
Just quietly.
In every other way, cry your ass off.
Off the record. Not sure Wayne should be the one you're taking relationship tips from.
I would have to agree.
Anyway, that is the topic. We have a huge pop 10 at the end. Probably more like a bit more than pop 10, to be honest. There were so many great, great responses to this week's topic. And maybe the biggest in the history of the show. I'm not sure. Very, very
interesting
close.
Interesting vein. We'll try and keep it light, but maybe this is, you know, interesting. Who knows?
Well, yeah, I guess we'll find out, as some people suggested, whether or not I do have a heart of stone. Well, that's some bad news for all you detractors
Taylor
out
Dane,
there.
Let's hear about it.
I managed to get 10, no problem at all, and have honorable mentions.
The hell you say?
Yeah.
All right. I still can't see you crying in a movie, but let's just try and imagine it, okay, everyone? All right.
I dare you. All right. Before we get there, though, we have to do our plug. Traditional on the show, and the plug is for
the Podcast Republic application.
Robust.
Oh, and good ass
app that you can download for your Android devices to listen to this show and indeed all podcasts on. So do check it out.
Yes.
ASAP.
iPhoneers out there, this message is not for you.
Nope.
But if you ever make the jump to Android, and why would you? That's the app you get first, okay?
I love the way that Wayne takes his opportunity to stick a dagger into every Android user.
Don't worry, every Android user kicks my ass. So time. There you go.
All right, there is that. Now, this week I was on a very small little guest spot on the Best Darn Diddly podcast.
Oh, yes.
Which did the episode 22 Tales from Springfield.
Oh, and?
So they're up to season 7 somewhere in there.
Holy crap.
And so I got to do their one little tale of when Mo and Barney are drinking and then Snake busts in to steal all the money from the cash register.
I remember that one.
Yeah, so I did that one, little synopsis of that, and did a few voices.
What? You did voices?
You can head on over and check that out. I think it will drop by the time this one has dropped. There's 20 other podcasts on there as well. So
very cool.
Very ambitious from them, and thanks to Miles for having me on.
Awesome.
Okay then, well, let's get to this week's results of last week's vote in terms of... great scenes in terrible movies. Now,
right.
I'm currently leading 5-4 on the year between the you versus me.
Okay.
This week, we're right down to the fucking wire. And if
you
can't.
One time, and you beat me, and then I caught up, and then it's like, what, neck and neck?
51 votes. You got 26. I got 25.
Oh, I won!
Damn
by
it.
By one vote. Oh, thank you, folks. I know, Paul.
I don't know how many of these you gave.
I bet you're the kind of guy that would fuck a person in the ass and not even have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
I gave none of those because it's too damn long a sound. But I would reach around every 26 of you who voted for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to the 25 who almost got me over the line but couldn't quite manage it this particular week. The cousin vote carries the day.
Go suck a dick,
again.
Man. Go suck a dick, that shit.
Making it, of course, 5-all then moving into this week's show.
That doesn't happen often.
Yeah, well, it absolutely does. You keep playing this poor man's card. No one's buying. Well, apparently people are buying it.
No,
let's all make it even.
No,
for
no,
all.
No. I honestly,
we've had your fun, everybody. You've given Wayne a bit of hope. It's time to snuff that shit out.
Again, I'm just glad you listened.
No, that's exactly the point. Thank you so much for your votes in the Facebook listener community. All right, I think that's the end of the notifications. Of course, you heard last week's show. There was a musical number. One of us sang, the other one warbled really badly, and I want to apologize again for the damage that was done to ears.
That's where the comedy comes in.
But we did have some fun with that, and if you are a patron of the show, you can check out the making of that particular performance as of now.
was halfway through that. I'm like, oh, we talked some shit.
Well, we had to get creative process.
Exactly.
Creative process. All right, that is it for the preamble to today's show. We're going to bust into the next segment, the top 10 segment, with a promo for our very special friends, the Epic Film Guys, and their live stream for a Cure event. Check out what they have to say.
Justin, can you believe it's almost time?
Time for what?
The 2019 live stream for The Cure. This is our third year hosting this amazing event, with every single cent going toward cancer research.
The Cancer Research Institute funds research into immunotherapy to create a future immune to all forms of cancer.
And this amazing nonprofit organization is rated over 92% by CharityNavigator.org and puts 88 cents of every dollar toward cancer research.
Last year, thanks to an amazing team of collaborators, fans, supporters, and listeners, we raised over $5,000 in 30 hours on the air.
And this year, with your help, we're going for our biggest goal yet.
Tune in May 17th to the 19th on twitch.tv/epicfilmguys for 40 hours of amazing content as we try to reach $7,500.
For more information or to find out how you can become a part of the event, please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com. Together, we can make a difference.
Top 10 films that made us cry is the topic of this week's countdown, as you're all very well aware.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we get there, though, I do want to say one other thing I forgot to do at the top of the show.
What?
Movie watching challenge.
Oh, yeah. How'd it go?
Me versus Daniel from the IMDb Journey podcast. Daniel has currently logged 181 films for the year thus far on Letterboxd. I have logged 162, but my actual number tonight, I'll be watching my 200th film.
Oh, my God. What did you call this? Sandbagging?
They call it sandbagging. I call it not having time to write all these damn reviews.
Okay.
Because Daniel has decided to start writing 3-sentence reviews, which I consider to be a little lame.
Do you have to actually review it as well as watch it?
I don't know, but that wasn't it. That's a way of keeping track.
You okay, track. All right.
I could just log them, but I just feel like I'm letting down my legion of Letterboxd. That was sarcasm, everyone.
Oh, well done. I like that plug-in. Go. Good, good. Well, you know what? Let me tell you about my Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
Last night, this is what I did last night, everyone. I sat here in my man cave watching sad movie after sad movie, and I cried like a bitch all night. All night. I'm glad to have done it for you listeners, but I want you to know I did it for you, okay? Because it was a pretty dark night.
Well, I think listeners will appreciate that effort, Wayne. And
who
so
knows,
you revisited
man.
A lot of films that made you the cry.
Oh, totally. Tear jerking, all kinds. Well, there's some other jerking, but the point is, like.
I'm not sure that kind of crying from the one eye really counts. In this particular instance.
I was wondering when we'd make a tears and jeers joke. So, you know, that's what I did. But it was just me remembering all the ones that I saw. I thought, do I cry in this one? And then I see it and I'm like, yes, I did, because I'm crying now. So,
goes to the mirror, double checks. Yes.
Oh, it's zip. I'm definitely a pussy.
All right. Well, do you want me to lead away?
Yeah, you go ahead, man.
My number 10 should come as no surprise to anyone who listens to the show. It is one of my favorite films and it is a very, very poignant moment. And I have to say, it beat out a lot of other Tom Hanks movies. My honorable mentions is Tom Hanks City.
You're kidding?
No.
This from a man. Okay, go on. Please go on.
My number 10 is Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, sure.
At the very end.
The end, you say?
Yeah, when basically Captain Miller buys it and he's standing there, laying there, I should say.
Blam, blam, blam,
he
blam.
Says, yeah, that bit as the tank's rolling towards him and the tank blows up and like, oh my God. And then when Private Ryan comes up and he says, earn this.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty cool. I was, like, for me, the knife thing, I don't know if it made me cry.
That
didn't
make me cry. That was horrifying. It was one of the most amazing, visceral scenes, I think. But
a lot of that stuff, yeah. I don't think anyone would deny you this.
And then that Trent, and then it melds from Matt Damon looking down at him into Matt Damon in the cemetery.
Yeah.
And he's crying, and God damn it.
And he said
so
something.
Am
he
I often.
Said, like, I tried to have the best damn life ever or whatever. I can't remember, but it was a good moment. It's, okay.
That's my 10.
I was thinking you maybe should have put it at 7, but whatever.
Long-term listeners of the show will know what Wayne's referring to there.
Yeah,
if you're not, go back and check out our top 10 war films episode and be prepared to be outraged.
No one's happy about that. Okay. My number 10, here's a little secret for you, everyone. I cried at the end of Armageddon.
On my honorable mentions.
Okay, good. Because everyone,
I don't think I cried. I think I had like that single manly tear, which is why I couldn't put it on my list.
If it drops, that's a cry. Manly tear is a cry, all right? It's not the fucking ugly crying, they call it, you know, but...
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, but I often assume that everyone has seen the movies we talk about. I've heard from recent listeners that not necessarily. So Armageddon, everyone, Really quick, it's a NASA sending a team of deep core drillers led by fucking Bruce Willis to fly up into space and land on an asteroid which is about to obliterate the Earth. They have to drill into the middle of the asteroid, put an explosive charge in there, and blow it up and leave before it happens. Now,
ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
What, you mean talking?
No, I mean that whole Armageddon.
Oh, description. Please.
I mean, the film Armageddon, stupid but ballsy.
Oh, totally, totally. But, you know, long story short, at the end, only one of them has to stay behind to trigger the explosive while the rest of them leave. And that person, fuck it, spoilers.
Oh, yeah, it's 20 years old.
Is Bruce Willis. And he had promised his daughter, Liv Tyler, that, you know,
he's coming back.
I'm going to have to break that promise to you, honey. Mm-hmm. And she's like crying and looking at the monitor. And he actually like takes Ben Affleck and throws him in and says, he's like, I love you. What's going on? He's like, you got to take care of my girl. That's your job now. And so basically, you know, I don't know. It's like the coolest thing ever because they're screaming at each other. And this, he also didn't Harry. Like Harry. Yeah. And he didn't want Ben Affleck to fuck his daughter because no one wants anyone to fuck their daughter. But now he's like, the fact that he then said, okay, now you have to take care of her. I'm going to take your place and be the guy who stays behind. Boom. Proper type. It was a actually, I think it was more than a manly tear.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Two.
Do you?
Two tears. Like, that counts in Wayne's
World. One counts, man. How often do we cry? We're men. Okay? We don't give a fuck if we run out of deodorant or whatever. I'm just saying.
Not sure what the joke there is.
It's just that we're not that easily upset and crying. Right, you know what I'm saying?
All right. My number nine is also from 1998. It's a film called Patch Adams.
Well, Robin Williams?
Robin Williams.
So he's the... Yeah, go on, please.
He's the doctor that brings happiness and that's all that kind of stuff. And interestingly enough, at the time that this I watched this film, I was studying to be a psychologist and involved sort of some of the elements of this really sort of touched a nerve, if you will. And he gets involved with Monica Potter in this particular film.
Great movie.
First of all, they're friends and then they're a romantic couple.
Mm-hmm.
And he helps her through her issues around being molested as a child.
Oh, really?
And so she wants to help a guy out who's had the same type of experience. And this is set back in the day. I can't remember exactly when. Maybe
feels like 90s.
Yeah, I think it's set before that. I think it's set like maybe 60s.
Oh, set before that. Okay.
60s, 70s. Yeah, it's 98 the film was made. Anyway, she goes out, makes a house call out to this guy's house, and he murders her.
Fucking really? Mm. Holy shit, I didn't know that.
And it's really brutal.
Jesus Christ.
And the effect on Robin Williams, who, of course, tragically, many, many years later, kills himself, he breaks down like very few actors, I have to say.
Oh my God, I didn't know it was anything like this. I thought it was just some like happy. Sorry, I just some.
Wait, he was shocked so far away from the mic.
I know. Here. I just didn't know there was anything like. I thought it was just some movie about a guy who's a doctor who wears clown shoes and shit. I don't know.
Yep, pretty much. Except wow. for that defining part of his.
That life. Is harshly. Mm. All right, damn. I'm not watching it now. So
yeah, sorry, I just ruined that for you.
No, it's cool. Again, I would have been like pissed off if you hadn't warned me. So.
Spoilers are safe for films that are from last millennium.
Absolutely, absolutely. Speaking of which, my number nine is a Bob Downey Jr. Ooh. Movie. Now, this is a different
film on my list.
Well, it's a different kind of crying because this is tears of joy
and
it's beautiful because that's really the type of crying I like to do. I don't like to do the sobbing. I like to do the crying. So that's it.
All right, which one is it?
This one is Heart and Souls. Now,
oh, yeah, I remember this film.
Robert Downey Jr. stars with Elizabeth Shue in this one, and it's a rom-com of sorts, but basically, this whole movie is around celestial beings and ghosts that are around you, and it's a long story, but towards the end of the movie, the subplot is basically that Robert Downey Jr. is grown up now. It starts when he's a kid, and these ghosts come and help you being a celestial being and all sort of shit, and he grows up, and he's been distant his whole life. And he won't move in with Elizabeth Shue, who's his longtime girlfriend who just wants to love him, and he's just being a prick. Now, the scene...
Wayne will not stand for anyone being not perfectly nice to Elizabeth Shue.
Exactly. She's lovely. Anyway, the end scene, he's in this greenhouse with her, and he finally, you know, it's like the end of the movie kind of thing, and he gives her this basket, and he's like, here's something for you. He lets his hand go off the handle, and it's his keys. It's dropped in the fucking, like, it's there, right? Now, that's not the beautiful part. The beautiful Good. Part, no, because I wouldn't, if that's not doing it for me, okay? What he does do, it's his performance that gets you. What he says to her is this. He says, he does his Robert Downey Jr.'s like, I've loved people before and they went away so a long time ago, I decided I wasn't going to need anyone anymore. I wasted my life that way and I know I don't deserve it. And he says this. He says, I need you and I love you. And in the love you, his voice cracks, okay? And he just nails it particularly well.
Unlike you.
Unlike me. I can't do that. I can't do Bob Downey Jr., okay?
Though you would if you could.
God knows. I would totally fuck Iron Man. All right, so... So she breaks down, and the whole, you know, the violins come in, and I was like, oh my God. And I actually cried probably one tear. And then I was about to maybe take a deep breath and do a sob. And then fortunately for me, at the cinema, there were 15 women around me that all sniffled like that, because they were crying worse than me, because at least they're slightly more like a bitch than me, right?
Not sure that's okay.
No, it's okay. They're women. So it's...
What? No.
It's fine.
God damn you, Wayne.
No, it's fine, man. It's all good. And that made me laugh, because I was now laughing at the women crying, even though I was crying. So you're still
a hypocrite.
Absolutely. Right. Completely the worst. Right, the worst.
We've established that now.
Yeah.
Heart Don't vote soul. For hypocrites.
Feel
vote
good
for non-hypocrites.
Movie. I did like the movie, though. I did like the movie.
It's a good movie. I understand where you're coming from. Though, no tears from me from that particular
one. You know, you told me about this movie. You probably have forgotten this. But back in the day, when you said, yeah, Heart and Souls, you saw it with Sam, the girl, your girlfriend at the time. And you're like, yeah, you should see that. It's a feel-good movie at the end. Bit of crying. Not that you said you cried, but you probably, you know, you knew that people cried.
Heard of it. My number 8 is the first of the Pixar animated films on my list.
Ah, I was wondering.
And really, there should be Pixar animated films on this particular list.
No, there's some on mine even.
There is it. Okay, I thought they might not make, because your...
I know.
Disagreement / dismissal of animated films.
Yes,
generally speaking, unless it's got Batman in it, well known.
Exactly.
My number 8 is from Inside Out. And straight away, everyone knows what I'm talking about. Directed by Pete Docter. It is, of course...
Lou!
Oh, okay, yeah, from 2015. So, spoilers for Inside Out, if you plan on watching, still haven't got around to, or your kid's one or two and you're going to watch the next couple of years, it is the scene where Bing Bong doth sacrifice himself.
Interesting. That's not my scene.
Ooh.
Please go on.
Ooh, okay, so, look, it's too hard to explain the whole film because it's quite complicated.
I got a little explanation that I wrote for it. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a high-concept animated feature telling the story of a young girl named Riley's emotional struggles. In her head is a control center with 5 personifications of her basic emotions. Joy, sadness, fear, disgust, anger. And they're all a character. And they're all trying to use this console to try and protect her and run her life. And that's basically, it's the interaction between them and how that actually works for you as an emotional person. Go
so on. Bing Bong is a figment of her imaginary friend that she had when she was younger and who has been consigned to the background because she's now, what, 9, 10, 11, something like that in the film.
Absolutely.
From memory, and doesn't need that type of support anymore.
That's right.
But he sacrifices himself to get sadness and joy out of a particularly... Or is it
situation.
Just joy
it's just
point?
Joy. It's just joy.
Just joy,
yeah.
That's what, at that point. At a particularly dangerous spot where she might have disappeared into, so to speak, her mind forever.
That's right.
And he gets her, propels her out of this crevasse.
And allows himself to be forgotten to
the
barren
process
of forgotten memory.
Which is just, as he fades away there, it's just... Ooh.
Yeah, because he wants Joy to get back to Riley to make her happy again, because he still loves her, because he's her imaginary friend as a child.
Yep.
Do you ever have an imaginary friend?
I don't think so.
You would never have an imaginary friend. You're just not that kind of guy, man. You would be like, I have an imaginary friend that I built out of a robot fucking face or something. You'd have actual shit and reasons why. All of us. Yeah, we had. I think
my imaginary friends were, you know, TV characters. Like, just sit down with the TV and watch that shit when I was young.
Doesn't count. Doesn't count. It has to be an actual thing that you had to solve a problem you had and to do with loneliness.
Okay.
That's what it was.
So you had an imaginary friend?
I actually don't know that I did.
Oh, so after all that mudslinging.
It wasn't. I have one now. I have one now.
Your penis is not your imaginary friend. It's real, Wade.
It may not be big, but yeah, exactly. There it is. No, I have an intelligent Wayne that I talk to.
Okay, go on.
I don't know if you want to hear this, but basically...
I don't, but I'm sure listeners do.
I ask him about shit that I'm thinking. I'm going, is this actually good? And he actually sits next to me and he goes, by the way, he's got a bit more hair than me. And so he's like slightly better than me in every way. And he'll give me an objective opinion. So there you go. I got one now.
Okay, go on.
No, I don't want to tell you that stuff I talked to him about. It's
Is
freaky.
Is there any chance at all? Any chance, Wayne?
What?
What did you call him again?
It's actually...
Intellectual Wayne?
Something like that. It's like Smart Wayne.
Smart Wayne? Is there any chance at all it's actually the soundboard?
Bitch, please. Now, the thing about Smart Wayne... He's a smart guy, but he's not as funny as me. So, no. This is the dumbest
that's
shit
Wayne.
Anyone
that's
ever
normal
said
Wayne.
In the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, time. The guy who pushed the button, that's cunt Paul.
Ooh. Damn.
I don't know if we have completely sidetracked.
We have sidetracked there. A little bit of an insight, more of an insight than you ever planned to get into Wayne's
really
head.
I really hadn't planned on telling anyone that, and now I just told everyone this, so that's great.
That's my 8. We need your 8 now.
Oh, God. Well, my 8 is Coco. And there's again happy tears. Now, people, Coco is purely heartwarming and awesome. It's an animated movie about this South American kid, Mexican kid, in fact, who, you know, is basically, it's a struggle between becoming a musician and not being something else. But at the very end, he makes a particularly good, I don't know, resolution with his family. And the final scene is them just dancing. Yeah, well, it's just dancing in the, not dancing, but kind of celebrating in this village that they're in. And they're picking him up. And for some reason, it was really, really awesome. And it was pure happy tears. This is happy tears, okay?
Accepted.
Yeah, and it made it all right. And it sort of brought up everything that you ever needed when you were a kid to feel safe or happy. It was just that scene. I think it was where they lit it or something, but it's beautiful. You ever have the occasion, check out Coco. I don't like animated films so much, but this is fucking beautiful.
Yeah, quite a few people in the listener feedback got on this one, so it's a solid pick from that angle. I didn't mind the movie, but it didn't strike me the same way. I guess I don't have the same artist soul trying to get out.
Yeah, or just general failure in your life.
All right, well, my number 7 is a Steven Spielberg joint.
What could it be?
Ooh. Arguably his most tear-jerky. Well, there's actually two of them that came up a lot in the listener feedback. But
it's got to be. Please, go on.
It's not E.T.
Oh, I was just going to say that.
It's Schindler's List, man. That thing is like, you are watching that entire film for most of it, at least after the first 25 minutes, in a constant state of near tears, getting more and more horrified and aghast at the lack of humanity that exists at this particular point in time. And then there are moments, and I don't think I was ever ugly crying, as you put it.
No.
But there are moments in that film where, you know, you get that sort of watery, teary eyes and one sort of rolls past.
Are you talking about the bit at the end in Schindler's List?
Heaps of them? Even down to the red jacket.
There's multiple moments of
a tear or two in this film.
I think the actual manipulative, not well, the scene that was actually written to make you cry was the end where he's like, oh, look at that thing. I could have sold that and saved two more people.
Yeah.
That thing, right? Now, I remember hearing Ben Kingsley talk about the movie and say, if you go to this movie, bring tissues, right? And then I don't know what it was, but when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's really sad, but I'm honest with you. I wasn't necessarily buying Liam's performance. I was sitting there going, I know. Whoa. I was sitting there going, okay, because I can see what the writer's doing. And I was like, I'm not crying. And I didn't. And then they had that bit at the end
you
where they... No, it was. I'm not a contrarian. I hate those people. But that's just how it worked out. I don't know. But yeah, I get it though. Actually, for me, you know what it was? It was when they were trying to shoot the old man and the guy's gun jammed.
Yes.
I was like, you fuck. And they're just sitting around walking, talking and like, how do you fix this? Click, 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 you know? Well, this guy's on his knees. Horrendous. But yeah, okay.
All right, that's my 7.
Paid that one. All right. My number 7 is, you'll love this. Mm-hmm. It's from I Am Legend.
What?
That's right.
Oh, damn, I like that one on the soundboard.
Take it back!
Suck it. All right.
I Am Legend made you cry?
Oh, yes. Check this out. Because you've forgotten about this scene because you have a disdain for Will Smith and this movie. But let me tell you this.
I have a disdain for this movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know why. This is a post-apocalyptic movie about Will Smith, who's seemingly the last man on Earth. And all he has is his pet German Shepherd, and together they're driving around New York after the apocalypse or whatever, because they're trying to fight off these hordes of vampire zombies. Okay, and then there's this moment where there's a fight with the vampires, and Will Smith's dog, who he goes everywhere with, gets bitten, and then Will Smith, after the fight, has to take his wounded dog into his lab and tries to revive him, but it's too late. And so what happens is he picks up and holds onto the dog's kind of crying and starts singing to him as the dog starts fading away. And then the dog starts slowly checks his teeth, starts turning into a vampire. And he goes, and Will Smith has to grab him tighter and strangle the dog to death, his only living friend. And I remember when it happened, after that even, Will Smith goes into this shop and there's mannequins and his dog used to like the mannequins. And he says to the mannequins, my friend said to say hi. Please talk to me. And he's just having this really moment where he's actually crying. It's actually an amazing scene with an amazing performance. And you've forgotten about it because you don't like the way it ends.
Or the film really at all.
I like that film, man.
I understand the dog thing getting to a lot of people. I would have thought there were better examples of dogs dying in films that could really...
Well, I avoid those movies. I didn't see Marley and Me. Okay? So this took me by surprise. So that's why I was like, oh, God. Okay. Yeah, they got me.
I see the reasoning and can't fault it on that particular level. My number 6 is the other animated film on my list. It is the first 10 minutes of Up.
Oh, God. Let's talk about Up because I saw it last night for the first time. Okay? No one told me about that opening scene.
Yeah.
I had no idea because I was sitting there going, oh, look at this. Oh, he's met his wife. And isn't it? Oh, she's that's infertile.
Sweet as. Yep.
All of a sudden, she's not fertile, and then they lose a baby. I'm like, okay, and that was like, fuck, and that kicked me right in the ass.
It does kick you in the ass. Like, it's such a wonderful encapsulation of life
oh.
and how tragic and difficult it can be, as well as how heartwarming and amazing it can be to find a connection with somebody whom you truly get and whom truly gets you.
But how do you, like, to pitch that as the opener for a kid's film, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, whoa, dude. And
it's ballsy as all fuck.
I have this movie on my list, but not that moment. Because I was,
it's not the first 10 minutes of Up.
No, it's, well, I'll tell you where it is when it comes to it. But yeah, it ain't. But I don't get me wrong, that thing fucking broke me. I just didn't cry quite then. I definitely cried later.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. 10 years on, another Pete Docter film. Obviously, Pete Docter wants to make the entire world cry. That is.
Is that
for
him?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, really? Same yeah. Bloke. God. Yeah. Bastard. But he does it so well.
Is it Ellie? Is that her name?
Her name is Riley. Yes, it is. Yep. Ellie. Yep.
Yeah. When that's the bit for me and leaving poor Carl all alone after that.
Yeah, totally. That's on my list.
Okay. Back to you then for your number six.
Number six. My number six is Logan.
No.
Oh, really? Okay, fine. Now that.
Not that low.
I actually. Did I see Logan with you? Because I remember crying at it at some stage.
I saw it with my girlfriend then, my now fiance, and worked really hard not to let her see.
Oh, man.
That I was. This is obviously quite recently.
If you had cracked, it's over, son. You know what I said.
Yeah, like, I've got tears rolling down the
face.
You
gotta choke that shit up.
It wasn't ugly crying, but it was certainly would have been had it not been for her presence.
So. Well done, old man.
So it's a spoiler, obviously. So be careful here if you haven't seen Logan.
Haven't seen Logan, like, you know, just maybe skip it.
It's only
for
a couple
sec.
Of years on. So James Mangold's final piece de resistance, as I like to call it, for Wolverine character and Hugh Jackman in the role that he'd occupied for some 15 years. And boy, he goes out with a bang.
Man, I've only seen it once until I saw it again last night. Mm-hmm. And watching it again with, like, it's the heartbreaker is the girl, the X-23 is, like, over him, is standing over him while he's dying, and he's saying, like, don't be what they made you. He's saying shit that I got to her, right? And she's like, don't leave. And he starts thinking to himself, he says, like, so this is what it feels like, you know, because he can't die, now he can. Yeah, so he's killed
right down to when they create the cross and they make it like an X.
Oh, man.
To mark his spot.
Absolutely. That was the shit. That was so cool. But also, she even says daddy after he dies.
Yep. That's the heartbreaker. You're right.
It
that's
is a
awesome.
Killer. And she didn't say while he was. What a kicker. But that's why this movie is the balls.
Yep.
So, anyway.
100% Logan. Agree. Obviously, therefore, on both our lists and a little higher on mine. So that was your six. My number five. I wonder if this film might make your list because I know you liked it more than I did. But another one that I watched with my fiance, in fact, just before I proposed to her, is from last year. Mm-hmm. So big spoilers here for A Star Is Born.
Oh, you cried?
Again, this is more a single manly tear.
You're rolling your tears crying?
And I probably would have been more emotional, not just blame this one on Patsy, but on the two women who were next to us.
What were they doing?
Who were like, okay, again, spoilers. Like when he kills himself and they're like, that fucking guy, that fucking asshole. So I'm half laughing at them because they were full on bawling. But unlike you, I wasn't laughing and crying. I was laughing at their vocalizing of their anger towards the...
Were they angry at Bradley Cooper?
No, the agent character.
Oh, because he started
that,
it all.
Who gave him that sort of like, he said, hey, don't, man, don't you realize you're the one that's holding her back and all that stuff.
Ooh.
Which is the moment that he decides to kill himself.
Wow. That's really tough, man. I mean, I'm thinking about that again as well, because I unfortunately knew that someone died because some asshole fucking slipped to me.
I didn't know. I hadn't even seen the other films. It made by the time he talked about having witnessed his dad or whoever it was killing himself.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I can see where this is going.
Really?
But so even so, it was heartbreaking.
It was handled really well.
It
I
was
thought.
Really well put together.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, it's a really great film. I love it. So
that's my five.
All right. I'm surprised you cried at it, though. So well done. All right. Nice for you. My number five is actually Up. But the scene that I cried at was at the end. I mean, it's a whole damn film, I guess. But the end when he is looking through his wife's scrapbook and he knows that he always stopped. But there's a section that says things I'm going to do or something. Right. And he never goes past that section because he knows that that was when around like
that
whatever.
Didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yep.
But then the page just folds over and he opens it up and it turns out she's pasted pictures of their wedding and all sorts of shit in that section, which he didn't know. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I was like, that is a. And he just made him so happy because everything had gone wrong up till then. So that shit kills me, man.
Yeah,
that
okay.
shit kills all right, me. All right. And oh, by the way, no one told me that Up had dogs in it. I thought it was just a flying house. He lands, there's dogs. Dogs talk every time they take off
mine,
the blimp.
Mine.
Oh, man, that was so cool. So this is beautiful, this movie, man. Dogs.
Wayne with an animated film. Two animated
Absolutely.
films.
Absolutely. And the dog's dog is the shit. So anyway, great show. If you haven't seen it, please don't be like me. Go look at it.
Good adage for life right there. We'll be right back to you then, because my number four is Logan.
Oh, Loyan. Okay, fine. My number four is a movie called Big Fish.
Seen it, but lots of people referenced this.
Dude, so it's a Tim Burton movie, so I see why you probably didn't see it.
I like Tim Burton.
Do you? Oh, okay.
In the old days, not so much anymore.
Well, it's about this Albert Finney is a lifelong storyteller, and he attempts to repair his relationship with his estranged son, who is Billy Crudup, from his deathbed. And basically, the son doesn't like the fact that the dad just tells all these stories and always fucking embellishes shit.
Yeah.
And finally, towards the end, right, he's dying and the son has to come. Billy Crudup has to come and talk to him again. And he's on his deathbed. And he basically, you know, they kind of slowly sort of on the verge of making peace with each other. And then the dad asks Billy Crudup, he says, no, wait, tell the story about how I'm going to die. He's like, what? Narrate my death. Tell me a story now, basically. And he stumbles through this story where he wheels him out in a wheelchair and they're all good and everything. And this really cool scene happens where they go to this river and all of his friends are there to see him off. All this sort of shit that happens. And he lets him into the water and he turns into a catfish, which is how the movie starts. And he just swims away. And he says, my dad's final trick is that he told stories so many times that he becomes the stories because they live on after him. And in that way, he becomes immortal. And the kind of, it's like a sunset shot, but it fucking killed me. It was like, oh, wouldn't that be great? To pass with that kind of piece, just beautiful. I don't know. Like you said, I'm a bitch.
No, and I think, if I may,
yeah,
there's something about this storyline which obviously reflects in your life.
Sure, sure. I lost my dad.
Having lost your dad. And
yeah.
So I can totally understand.
A lot of that happens. A lot of that. That's a total, like, my thing.
That's really what it boils down to, right? Is how personal connection these films make. And if it's really personal, then that's where the tears come from.
Absolutely.
When that emotion sort of wells up.
And I didn't expect the tears either. Like, I didn't feel them coming. I just dropped. So I was like, clearly this is important to me on some level.
And there's a theme in most of mine looking down at loss, which is what really strikes a chord for me. And then particularly when it's sort of father-child related stuff.
Absolutely. I think it would be even more so for you because you have a child.
That's what I'm saying. I think probably my cry factor has gone up exponentially since having a child. And there are studies that have proven that's the case. That you are more emotional and more likely to be emotional post having children.
Biologically, so. It makes sense. Mm. My God, our tampons are just hanging out today. All right. Okay.
I was quite comfortable there, but Wayne had
so
to go.
No, I wanted
dirty
to make it,
up. It
funny, you know.
Okay, sure. My number three is a film which I still don't know if you got around to watching. Maybe you did. Maybe you did review it on a top 10, last 10 in the past. But I saw it on a plane, and I'm sure that had an impact. But I was ugly crying on a plane at this
Ooh.
Movie.
Alone?
Yeah, I was by myself.
Lucky you.
Flying to Japan. And hopefully I had a spare seat next to me. I can't remember if I did. But it's me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
Okay, I didn't, but it's because you cried that I haven't yet. Tell me about it.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. Oh, it's going to spoil the film if I do.
It's all right. I mean, skip ahead if you want, guys.
Skip ahead for you, listeners, for Wayne, who still hasn't got around to watching it despite my insistence that he
should. I'll probably be too much of a bitch to watch it.
From 4 years ago. It's basically all a film about a film from a young guy who is kind of forced to become friends with a girl who's got cancer.
Right.
And he says right out of the gate, don't worry, guys, she lives at the end. This is not that kind of film, all right? And then as the film progresses and she gets sicker and sicker and eventually she dies.
Fuckers.
And he says, you know, I told you that at the start of the film. I kind of lied. And he explains why he lies.
Yeah.
In that. And
it sounds harsh as fuck.
Yeah, it's really well played by all the actors involved, and it really cut me to the core. I don't know if it's because of the plane.
I told you, emotional fucking. You know,
yeah. It was ugly crying. Like, it really struck me that her loss. And of course, we have a friend ourselves at the moment, and this is obviously predating that.
Yeah.
Scenario that we knew this day was likely going to come. Who's in that boat at the moment? And so, not that I rewatched it again. Don't need to. That's
yeah.
Enough
no,
it.
It's right at your heart.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yep. Okay. Well, my number three is far less deep, but still quite as surprising. Now, it was Good Will Hunting.
Okay.
Now, for anyone who doesn't know, that's the movie where Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are bros, and Matt Damon's really smart, and then Robin Williams is a psychologist who helps him tease out and become his best person. It's a lot more interesting than that. But but towards the end, it turns out Matt Damon was an abused child, physically abused by his stepfather or father or something. And at the end, right at the very end, where he's like, okay, well, I'm a better person now. Thanks very much, Robin Williams, for coaching me, and you've been a good friend. Robin Williams then approaches him and just keeps saying, it's not your fault. And he goes, yeah, I know it's not my fault. It's not your fault. What do you mean? It's not your fault. And then he just keeps going, and you can see Matt Damon turning, going, stop it, and he pushes him back at one stage. And basically, he just pushes it at him and says, it's not your fault that your mom got beat up or you got beat up. None of that shit was on you. And he he breaks down, cries really loudly as he hugs him, and that got to me like a motherfucker. All right. So, you know.
Again, I think a few mentions in the listener feedback. So.
Yeah, again, though, didn't expect it because I didn't know what Robin Williams was doing, and then it just made it better. Great scene. Great scene.
Okay. Yeah, I vaguely remember. It's a long time since I watched it. And I know I know it didn't affect me the same way as it did you. That film was just okay by my reckoning.
And I haven't been amused that much. I mean, I have, but as an adult. And I asked for it and paid. So.
And enjoyed it. Well, getting to the business end now. My number two is Ryan Coogler's first film. It stars Michael B. Jordan. It's Fruitvale Station.
Ah, never saw this. You told me it was good, and I was like, what? How do you make a movie out of that? And this is how. Go on.
This tells a true story of a Bay Area resident, Oscar, 22-year-old Bay Area resident, who effectively gets murdered, for all intents and purposes, by the police on New Year's Day, New Year's morning, on 2009.
Which, of course, actually happened.
Yeah, this is all true. It all happened right down to the point where they show the video footage of him being arrested.
I saw that just before the movie came out.
Yeah.
And I went, whoa.
And it's the dad-daughter stuff. You know, it's him saying, you know how it ends. There's no shying around this fact.
He's got a daughter?
Yeah. And he's saying to her, you know, he's being dad. He's a young dad and the daughter's quite young too, but old enough that he's like, it's all right, I'll be back.
Yeah.
And you know he's never going to be back. And that's where it started for me. And it got worse and worse and worse.
Had your daughter already been born?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is going to kick you right in the face, man.
It came out in 2013, which is the year my daughter was born, but I only watched it, I've talked about it on the show, so I watched it in the last 4 years.
Let me ask you this. So I've seen the actual footage. I know what happened. I know how it looked. And the explanation that went away with it was that the officer thought he was drawing his taser to fire it at his back, when in fact he was drawing his actual piece and fired it. Is the movie played where it's one way or the other?
Oh, the movie definitely shows you that this was murder.
On purpose. So he's like, I'm going to shoot this guy. Boom.
It doesn't go that hard down the road, but it certainly shows that he is wrongfully picked up and abused by the police officers, and it should never have got to that point.
Wow.
Should never have got to the point where he needed to be tased because he hadn't done anything wrong.
Okay. That's a fucking killer. Okay. Wow. Nice. My number two is Inside Out, but a different moment to yours.
Okay.
So. The moment that breaks me is when Sophie, who has been sad and doesn't know why she's sad this whole time because her parents moved her to this new town and everything, and she runs away from home, but she comes back, and finally she admits to her parents that she's sad, and she feels guilty about being sad because she knows her parents need her to be happy, and then she says, I'm sorry I can't be happy for you. It kills me! Because she was crying as a little girl. I just wanted to build a fence around her and fill it with puppies or something. I don't know. And I'm not even a father. So I remember just going, I feel so bad for this little girl. And so that killed me. And God, I'm a bitch. So yes.
No, I think that's very touching.
Oh, God. I don't know what. Just seeing her cry or something really upset me. So there you are. That's me.
All right. Well, that's our 10 through 2s. Let's give a recap of our lists and then wrap it up with our number 1 before we do some brief honorable mentions. My number 10, Saving Private Ryan. 9, Patch Adams. 8, Inside Out. Different than Wayne's scene. 7, Schindler's List. The whole damn film. 6, Up. First 10 minutes. Star is Born at number 5. Logan at number 4. Me and Earl and the Dying Girl at number 3. My number 2 was Fruitvale Station. And my number 1 is unquestionably, and I've talked about it on the podcast before for our top 10 documentaries, Dear Zachary, A Letter to a Son about his father.
I almost got to that last night.
Directed by Kurt Kuen. And it's a film that effectively follows, in 2001, a guy named Andrew Bagby was murdered not long after breaking up with his girlfriend. However, she was pregnant with his unborn child at the time. That part's sad enough. That's not enough to get you going. She has the child. His parents want to have the only contact with their son that they have left, which is their grandson. And so they have to make nice with this woman who they very strongly and the film makes a very compelling case, almost certainly murdered him out of a fit of rage that he
How did she get away?
To break up with her.
Some technicality.
Yeah, she went and hid in some Canadian town somewhere or other and effectively hid behind sort of the extradition laws and whatever else, and got all tangled up in legality and whatever else. And the film, again, explains it all much better than my piecemeal attempt to explain it does. And then, and again, big spoiler here. Are you going to ever watch this damn film, Wayne?
No, but tell me anyway.
And then here's where the kicker happens. This woman, after an hour of the film, maybe an hour and 10 minutes of the film, is the grandparents having to make nice and play to have access to their grandchild and all that stuff. She takes the son out, the boy out, and kills himself and her, drowns them in the surf.
Holy shit! Holy
and these poor,
shit!
Poor parents of Andrew Bagby have now lost their son and their grandson. And it's just this miscarriage of justice. This woman should never have been allowed to roam the streets, let alone have access to a child. I think the kid was about one when she did this.
Fuck! God damn it.
It is.
That's fucked, because you can't even bring a bitch to justice. You just, she fucking, what a bitch. Man!
Yeah. Yeah. Even thinking about it now.
No,
it's
a little choker, man. I'm telling you. Holy
crap. And the fact that it's real. The fact that it's a real story, it really happened, is what.
Yeah, if that was a movie, it would make me cry. If it was a fucking, but it's real. It's worse.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Ugh. That's why it's my number one.
Man, sometimes you just got to cut the cord. All right.
All right, give us your recap and your number one.
Okay, my number 10 was Armageddon. Number 9, Heart and Souls. Number 8, Coco. 7, I Am Legend. 6, Logan. 5, Up. 4, Big Fish. Number 3 was Good Will Hunting. My number 2 was Inside Out, The End Part. And my number 1, this is no surprise to anyone, of course, it's the one I always talk about where I cry like a bitch, and this is as hard as I've ever cried in a movie. About Time. Okay? Yeah. It's about this dude named Tim, played by Donald Gleeson.
I shouldn't laugh. I just didn't think the film was very good, but I understand why.
Oh, dude. Look, to be honest with you, this is such a high-concept film. Donald Gleeson plays Tim. And at the age of 21, he finds out from his dad, who's Bill Nye, that the men of his family have this secret ability to travel back in time to moments they have lived before. So it's cool. He travels back in time, uses the ability to get great Rachel McAdams and stuff like that. And then his father gets sick and dies, but because Tim can travel back in time, he's able to visit his deceased father whenever he likes. Because he keeps their father and son bond after death. Amazing. But then Tim's wife tells him she wants another child, because wives don't like it when you're happy. And then, but the problem with that is, once you have a child, you can't travel back in time past before that child was born, because then when you come back, it'll be a different child or whatever. Okay? That's the rule in the movie. So there's this
bullshit. Stupid fucking.
Or you come back and there's no child. You know what I mean? The point is you're changing the past.
Right.
So he has this moment where he tells his father, look, I'm sorry, I can't visit anymore because I need to have this other child. And that means I will never see you again. And Bill Nye just goes, okay, well, this is a thing that we're going to do. It's a little bit against the rules, but I think we'll get away with it. And he travels back in time with his son to a time where his son was like 10 years old. And he was his dad, and him and his dad spend this whole day together on the sun-kissed beach, and they just walk around, they play, and they just have those days that you had with your dad. Kind of breaking up as I'm saying it. But it's the most beautiful thing, and it actually made me sob proper. This is ugly crying. This is thank God no one's in the house kind of shit. Oh, right? Yeah. Killed me completely. If you ever watch the movie, understand that you have to go with the high concept thing, and you'll enjoy that. If you're a broken man like me.
Again, the dad stuff makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it.
That's
my
our list.
God, I hope this has been a fun episode for people.
It was obviously emotionally telling for us.
Oh, God.
Or taxing for us. Did you have any honorable mentions, Wayne?
Yeah, tons, man. Fucking everything.
Run through them fast.
Okay, Watership Down, The Fisher King, The Killing Fields, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, fucking Spock, Spock every single time, Tears of the Sun, Road to Perdition, La La Land even at the end, and then Forrest Gump, I know your favorite, when he visits Jenny's grave. That was a very sad scene, so fuck you, Paul.
Much like The Killing Fields, I had Hotel Rwanda.
Yeah, tough.
Then I had Armageddon, as mentioned, and the other two, which I put on here, even though you're right, Star Trek II should be on my honorable mentions as well. I had Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And one which I almost stuck in here. But then I thought, people are just going to laugh at me. But please. I found this really emotional. I can't remember if I actually cried, but I legitimately felt emotion.
Is it Shaun the Sheep?
No, it's Castaway. Okay. When Wilson the volleyball floats away on the tide.
Because Tom Hanks was crying so hard.
Tom
it was
Hanks
really
is
it was
selling the shit out of that moment.
Imagine that. Now, that's an actor right there.
Yeah.
I miss my ball painted with blood.
Yep.
And he's crying and you're crying.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible.
It was so tough because he was like heaving when he's, I know, it was a hard scene. Oh my God.
I just thought I'd be laughed at by too many people if I put it on my list.
I'm going to need some kind of therapy after this episode. I'm going to need something.
Fuck knows, I don't know anyone that can help you with that. All right, those are our lists. What about your list in what's going to be an extended Pop 10? Let's hit it. Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking it off then with Dan R. Hodds, 76, number 3, We Bought a Zoo.
I never saw it. Did you see it?
Nope. Okay. Number two, About Schmidt.
Oh, really?
And okay. Number one, Strictly Ballroom.
Really?
Really?
Wait a minute, why did that end?
I don't know.
Paul Mercurio. Yeah, okay. I think I remember that being a bit sad. Yeah, you're right.
Drew Helen from the Real Fields podcast had Pay It Forward, I Am Sam, and Patch Adams. So.
Oh, God, let me tell you about I Am Sam. Mm. I went and saw that at an advanced screening, right, when I was back in the day, and it was with a bunch of people from work, right? And there's like tons of people in the cinema. At the end, where Sean Penn is, perhaps you'll, you know, be into this, he's running around with his kids. It's just a beautiful scene at the end.
Yep.
I was like, oh, that's quite beautiful. I turn around and every man in the audience who's a father is proper sobbing.
Yep.
And I was like, damn.
I've heard. I haven't seen the film, so I can't comment, but yeah. that is what I've heard.
It's good.
Brad from the Cinema Guys had, oh man, we just did one of these lists recently. Mine were number three, Armageddon.
Ah, yes.
Number two, Up. And number one, My Girl.
Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin, and I can't remember.
He Must Buy the Farm or something. Or maybe she does.
I know what happens in the film. Okay. Yeah, again, it's an old film. Yeah, she dies.
Oh,
she gets stung by a bee or some shit. She's allergic to
things. Fuck!
Just in time with the J&T Baggers had Hardball, Toy Story 3, and another one for Armageddon. Hardball, I don't know that one.
Okay, sorry.
Toy Story 3, obviously the bit at the end where they're all holding hands and they're plummeting towards the fire. Yep.
God, yeah, I remember that.
Sean, from the Story of Your and Yours podcast, which is a great show. Number one, Big Fish. I remember about the movie is that I sobbed. Number two, Remember the Titans. Number three, Pixar. Just Pixar. Up, Inside Out, Coco, Toy Story 3, Wall-E. I rarely cry in movies, but they've got my number. I know this is cheating, but they all hit me in the feels about the same.
I never finished Wall-E.
Finished it now. I've seen it now.
Okay.
Yeah, and yeah, I didn't find anyone as emotional as the ones we've spoken about today. But that's me and Sean.
Totally.
Has a different perspective. Dan from the Netflix and Surreal podcast says, okay, not to sound like a hard ass, but I don't think I've ever cried in a single movie as an adult.
Yes, you have. You just forgot about it like I did. Okay? You blocked it out because you needed to. I understand, man.
Steve from the Everything I Learned from Movies podcast. Sigh. Most movies with father, son, but the ones I'm not particularly proud of are Frequency, Big Fish, and Creed 2.
Fuck, I forgot about Frequency. That's a really good call.
Dennis Quaid, Jim Caviezel.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Matt from the Crossover podcast has had one, Old Yeller.
I never saw it, but I know what it's about.
Yeah, so do I. Exactly. Mackenzie Lambert had Logan, The Ending,
mm-hmm.
The Wrestler, Rourke's monologue to his daughter, and Return of the Jedi. Tell your sister you were right about me.
Oh.
That's obviously Darth Vader to Luke.
Right.
Shane Beauregard had A Perfect World.
Oh, yeah, Kevin that's Costner, a great fucking movie.
The Green Mile, which got a lot of love in this particular listing, and The Champ.
Rick Schroeder?
Oh, is that Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoon?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice.
Could be wrong.
King Dingaling had Beaches, Terms of Endearment, and Marley and Me. Quite a few people had all three of those films.
Yeah, again, Marley and Me, not brave enough a man to see it.
Yeah, Gidget von LaRue had Terms of Endearment as one of her maiden ones as well. And this has made me laugh. The STST cast had Beaches as well. Dead Poets Society and Big Fish. And after Beaches wrote Fight Me.
That's fine.
From the aforementioned, Daniel from the IMDb Journey podcast. Number three, The Lion King. We Gotta Go Home. Number two, Armageddon. Yeah, that's right. I said it. What of it? And number one, Inside Out. Take Her to the Moon. So the bing bong.
That's what he said.
Yes. Ending right there. Brooke Reading podcast. Melissa from that show. Oh, so many. But top three would have to be three, Steel Magnolias.
Mm.
Two, Dead Poets Society. And number one, The Lion King.
Mm. Solid.
James Spence, good friend, patron of the show, had Fruitvale Station, Short Term 12, and fucking Logan. And I accused him of looking at my notes when he made that particular list.
Totally.
Our good friend Ali, who previous guest co-host on the show, had Up. The opening montage with his wife is so lovely yet so sad.
Totally.
At the same time, two, The Lion King, Mufasa's death,
mm-hmm.
and number one, The Fellowship of the Ring, which got Fellowship of the Ring. Hobbit's reaction to Gandalf's fall into darkness and Boromir's last speech and death gets me every time.
Oh, Boromir, that thing was killing, man. That was bad.
Kristen Harvey, first-time contributor, I think, to the show. Room, Mia and Jack reunite after his escape. The Fault in Our Stars, which got quite a bit of love as well. At the moment, Hazel finds our Gus has passed away. And Pay It Forward, all the people turning up to memorialize Trevor.
I never saw that movie.
I think I don't want to guess what it is, but I haven't seen it either. But that sounds like a pretty sweet list there, at least as far as this particular topic goes. From Stuart James, Pete's Dragon, the 70s version, when Elliot has to leave Pete. Number two, Pursuit of Happiness, another one that got a lot of love when all of his hard work finally paid off. And number three, Gifted, obviously the ending. I don't know what Gifted is.
No, do
so I can't comment on that particular one. Stephen Burns had a really, really well thought out one. He had number three, Inside Out, when Joy realizes that sadness is needed with happiness and they share the core memories. I cry every time.
So good. And every kid should see that, right?
Trolls, when Poppy loses her spirit and all the color drains out of the trolls, it is incredibly sad. When Branch starts singing for the first time, the tears pitter-patter in time with the music. And number one, Coco.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. When Hector is dying, then Miguel runs home and he starts singing Remember Me, and Mama Coco gets her memory back. If that doesn't do it, 1 year later, Mama Coco's picture is there as well. Jesus. Anyone with a dry eye is soulless or definitely hasn't had a close relationship with an elderly relative.
Agreed.
Very nice. Thank you for that, Stephen. Lachlan Mills had it's a terrible thing. I weep during too many movies, and now I'm called upon to list three, which I still can't do. But anyway, the standard Disney meal film for me is Inside Out. There's a scene in there where the clown dies to save Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Some part of a childhood dies that cut me to pieces. The Sixth Sense also tore me apart because I have a kid about this kid's age when I saw the film, and so his suffering really touched me. And then recently, A Star Is Born. The very end. Very, very nice. Caleb Edward, the other half of Netflix and Swill, said, I'm a giant pussy who cried at the end of Real Steel.
I didn't see it. Was it?
Yeah, it's a father-son thing. Okay. Yeah, Hugh Jackman in that particular film. Chris Yeaney had one that lots and lots of people mentioned. It's not I Will Fight No More Forever. That was his number three. Number two, though, is What Dreams May Come, again with Robin Williams.
Robin Williams, yeah. I never saw that either.
And number one, My Girl. No, I've seen enough of it to know exactly what's going on in it.
Really? So okay.
I can see how that absolutely works. Nick Haskins from the Epic Film Guys, of course, just had one that which was mentioned time and again. It's a Wonderful Life from the back in the 40s.
I don't think I've
Jimmy
seen
Stewart.
It.
Jimmy Stewart. I've now seen it. I guess I can kind of see it.
I know. It's the thing with the old movies.
Yeah. Gerald Morris from Two Peas on a Podcast. Podcast, A Perfect World with Clint Eastwood and Kevin Costner.
Seriously great film.
Butch and Philip get separated. Blow from Depp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. At the end with the daughter. Yeah.
Ray Liotta listens to his son's goodbye tape.
Yep.
And number one, A Star Is Born. The end.
Yep. Good ones.
Mel Walker had The Biscuit Eater from 1940. Before there was Old Yeller, before there was Marley and Me, there was The Biscuit Eater. I just remember being so angry at the dad for not wanting the dog because it wasn't show quality, but those kids did their best to prove him wrong.
Mm.
Number two, Inside Out, because growing up sucks, and this movie is so truthful it hurts, but in a good way. And number one, Logan. Pretty much every scene with old Charles.
Yeah.
When the movie came out, I was struggling in real life with my dad having dementia, which he eventually succumbed to. So sorry, Mel.
Sorry, man.
So it hit me really hard. Logan's final scenes got me too. Damn, that was a good movie. So that was a really... We had some of these really amazing responses from people, so I really want to thank everyone, including
Mel. Thank you so much. Sorry going a bit long with these ones, because we just want to... Yeah.
We want to honour that. Last couple, though, we do need to wrap it up. Stephen from Super Retro Throwback had My Girl, My Dog Skip, and Homeward Bound. And I'm going to need 10 shots of Jack Daniels for this list.
Mm-hmm. I love that people are responding to this emotional quotient of the show. Usually it's just dick jokes.
We're kind of far away from that today.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a great exchange which came between Julio and Billy from We Watch The Thing podcast, both of which are patrons of the show. Now, Julio said, you guys should have given Billy from We Watch The Thing a couple of weeks to put his list together because he's just so that's how long it would take him to cull his list. Billy said, yep, sadly, I'll need to stay out of this week lest I be mocked. I cried in three movies this week alone. And I won't admit what they are. You guys know I cried in Passengers, Godzilla 2000, every time, damn time I watch Up, and that's enough. And Julio came back and said, so you reviewed Unicorn Store this week. Is that one you cried in, or was that last week? He said, that was this week. I guess that's four then.
Oh, good to know there's a guy out there in touch like some of us are.
And I'm going to leave the final word to last week we guested on Justin and Chrissy's podcast. Mm-hmm. So yep. I Married a Movie Geek. I'm going to leave the final word to Justin. Here's three. Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
Most Pixar movies.
Yep.
And The Saint. 1997.
Oh, well played, old man. Well
which
done.
We, of course, reviewed with them. And boy, if you haven't listened to that episode and you want to hear three people shitting on one, well, that is
me,
the episode
obviously
for
me.
You. Thank you so much. Look, it was well over 110, maybe even 120 responses this week. So yeah. We couldn't do them all justice. We thank everyone who got back and helps shape the show in the way that they do. We really, truly do appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Thank you, guys.
All right, Wayne, well, how do listeners get back in touch with us for their feedback on future countdowns?
They can search for The Countdown Movie and TV Reviews on Google or Facebook or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
They can hit us up on the Facebook listener community. Link is in the show notes and on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. That's probably all the main ways to get in touch with us with your feedback for each list and indeed on the show. And I want to thank everyone who's taken the time to write some reviews up on iTunes recently.
Yeah,
got a couple
guys.
More. We'll read those out next week on the show just because we're running a little longer now for time. All right, Wayne, then what's happening next week for episode 213 of The Countdown?
We are going to count down the top 10 heroic moments in film.
Yeah.
You know, Avengers Endgame is coming about soonish.
That is right. It will be coinciding, some might say coincidentally, with the release of that film. others, well, actually, that fact, those same people would be wrong.
That's right. Now,
not a coincidence at all.
Don't get me wrong. It's not necessarily a superhero episode. It's just a heroic moment in a film. Could be someone who wasn't even a hero that got a heroic moment.
Yeah,
you know?
It's pretty broad, this tapestry on this one, but the moments that really lifted you, like, yes!
Yeah, that's the thing, like, yeah, that happened, and now you feel better about life a little bit. That kind of thing.
That is what we're looking for next week on the show. And as Wayne has mentioned, we'll be, obviously, for the main review, doing Avengers Endgame next week.
You know, I've avoided the trailer. I was in a movie like yesterday and the trailer came on and I did this thing where I stuck my fingers in my ear and then started wiggling them so I couldn't hear anything and then I closed my eyes and went me, 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 like this.
And then everyone around Wayne was like glaring at
him.
When
I took my fingers out and opened my eyes again, there was an Asian family near me looking at me funny.
Can't imagine why.
I wonder if they tried to talk to me. Okay, anyway.
All right, on that note, it's time to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for joining us for this week's, I want to say fun, but kind of heart-wrenching episode.
Yeah, I hope your heart was around this week. It's just for you. It's a feeling shit. It's emotional. It's fine. We can't do the same thing every year, every week.
That's correct. We cannot. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Can you let the soundboard go one time?
How would you like to suck my balls?
How dare you suggest.
Suck it.
In fact...
You insignificant cunt! Little fuck!
This is emotionally scarring. This is shit.
What, do you want me to get Intellectual Wayne back on here as well?
No, suck a dick.
We'll catch you next week.